family, and we do things together as a family. So when it comes to preaching, it's not one man that does that. We all speak to one another, as scripture says. Speak to one another in hymns and songs, even through the word of God. Amen. This morning, I came across a quotation that by one of the evangelical preachers. He's a British evangelical preacher whose books we used in school. And I respect him a lot. His name is called John Stott. And I was just taken by a quote that he made. He said, and I read, "A Christian life is not a gloomy submission." And I'm sure you are not all gloomy. If you are not gloomy, please, can you smile? If you are not gloomy, can you smile? As somebody said, don't be holier than thou. Namokai, if you are not gloomy, smile. Let me finish the quote. A Christian life is not a gloomy submission. Because you are a Christian, you want to be gloomy. You want to portray a face of spirituality. And he says, a Christian life is a joyful surrender to God. So we surrender our lives joyfully to God. And my prayer this year, today, is that as we walk into this year, we are going to experience God joyfully as we surrender to Him. Can I encourage us when we walk into this place or when you meet somebody, can you be joyful at least? When you come here, can you smile at somebody? Can you smile at me and with me as I speak? If you're a Christian seated there, can you smile before I proceed? Yeah. Yeah. Elijah, can you smile at your wife? Look her in the eyes and smile at her. If JT were seated next to your wife, I was going to say, can you look closely? Yeah. Emmanuel, can you smile at Charles? That's family. That's family. We're supposed to live joyful lives. We're supposed to experience God joyfully as we surrender to Him. I want to talk about something that we all experience and do. I'm sure we all attend weddings. Some of us, maybe this year, this is, are we mid-year or three quarters of the year? We've gone through three quarters of this month, January. So already we are going to be, we are less than a year before. So three quarters through January, some of you must have either attended a wedding. And if you've not attended a wedding, you are planning to attend one. If you are not planning to attend one, you've heard about somebody that is going to get married. And for some reason, if you've not heard anybody is going to get married, as long as you are alive, I'm sure you are planning at some point to get married. If you are not married, you are alive. You are planning to get married at some point. You are not going to be a monk, and I pray you're not going to be a monk. I pray that you say yes to scripture. Amen. There's only one person that is saying amen here. Charles, can you say amen? Yes. Memokai, can you say amen in Memokai? Amen. You know, when we attend weddings, whenever you go there, there is dancing. There is jubilation. And for many of us, that's the time that we get to see relatives that we've not seen for a long period of time. When I go to weddings, I observe people, they high-five each other, they hug each other. You know, they talk, oh, I last saw you 20 years ago. I last saw you when we were in school. And it's just a joyous moment. It's because two people decided to get married. And those two people bring different families and different friends together. There are two parts of a wedding. There's what we call the wedding itself, done at church, where at church people behave very well, the way you are here. You look very holy. They look very sanctimonious. But there's another part they call the reception, where everything breaks loose. I'm not going to say hell, but heaven breaks loose. That's where you see, if you've never seen your uncle, your mom, your dad dance. You've never seen your dad dance. Elijah, if you've not seen your dad dance, watch him next time you go to a wedding. You've never seen your mom dance and excited, watch her at the wedding. That's why you see in Bemba, we say Amasha. You see in Funku too. You see all sorts of, for me, you would see my break dance moves. That you want to see, invite me to your wedding. So the wedding is done, people are married. Let me take you back. But before they get married at church, I want you to imagine now with that grace that God has given you. What grace is it? The grace of imagination. It's a gift that God gives us to imagine things. I like children when they you know, you give them doll, they create something. They imagine things and they are forming something. That's the grace God gives us. The grace of imagination. So I want you to just to tap into that grace of imagination right now. I want you to imagine seated in a church setting, attending a wedding. If you have a sister, if you've got a daughter here, or you've got a son, anybody that you wish someday they're going to get married, I want you to imagine yourself seated in church on their wedding day. What we experience and what we see, you are seated there, waiting for the bride and the bridegroom to come in. The party that walks in first is the groom and his party. Our friends in the West, they would have just maybe 2-3 people and the groom. But here, kuno turachirisha kuno. It's not only 2-3 people. Everyone wants to be on the lineup. You'd have 50 people lining lining up. They all walk into church. The groom leading the way, seated at the front pews. Time passes. People are chatting. They are all excited. They want to see the bride walk in. As the chat is going on, the MC walks to the mic like I'm doing. And he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, the time we've been waiting for has come." At that point, the mood changes. At that point, the door opens. And guess what? Everybody, if they are watching something on the screen, they all want to see the bride or the bridal party. They look. And the MC says, he gives a cue, the way I'll do now. He gives a cue to the person sitting on the sound desk. And they play a song that we'll be familiar with. I want you to imagine, and if you've never wished somebody good, I want you to start wishing them well for their wedding. And I want you to start praying for them. A song like this, can you just play that song? There's silence in church. Everybody's looking, waiting. They want to see where the bridal party is going to come from. It could be one door opening this side, another door is opening that side. They don't know where this is going to come from. They are all anxious, they're all excited. They want to see this bride. It's a wedding day. It's a wedding day. Suddenly, there's some white color that appears from the back. This girl in an angelic attire, she's walking through, walking slowly, maybe to a sound like that. She's walking majestically. I can tell she's imagining herself. Walking slowly to the front. And at that point, what I do mostly is my eyes are focused on the groom, not on any other person. My eyes go to the groom. The groom can't help it. Mind you, he's been courting this girl sometime, maybe 2 years, maybe 5 years. They've been courting, they've been seeing each other. But on that day, this guy changes. He becomes a different person. He's fidgeting. He's trying to compose himself. He can't wait. Between the door and where he's seated, feels so long, feels like it's a year. He can't wait. This girl is coming. Walking slowly. Next to her is her dad or her uncle. Her either left arm, is it her left arm or right arm, is hooked to her dad. Walking slowly. Goes. And the MC issues a command. Tells the groom, "Can you stand here and wait for your bride?" The groom steps out. And I watch what they do. The guy sometimes, his eyes would be having fellowship out of excitement. His knees would be having fellowship. He's excited, but at the same time, he can't hold it. I see him, he's out of breath. And he's waiting there as she walks. And then at that point, she stands here. The MC says, he speaks to the dad or the uncle. And he says, who gives this beautiful lady? And then the uncle says, I do. And then hands over this bride to the groom. The guy is so excited. He looks at this girl. You know, they've been courting for 5 years. All he wants is to unveil and look close. He looks at the beauty. The MC says, no, we love to kill you. That time will come. Relax. Take it easy. The guy can't just hold himself together. His smile becomes uncontrollable. He's smiling, but he doesn't want to show it. He looks at his mom, he looks at his dad, he says, wow. Daddy, I don't know, yeah, mom is beautiful, but mine, you have no idea. The guy is so excited. The girl, I want you to imagine, keep on imagining. Looks at the tiara. Is it a tiara? It's all nicely done. Looks at the dress. And the ladies would call the dress as a train. A train like it is coming from, like that of the Book of Revelation. He looks at the makeup. He said, wow, I've never seen this before. I can see the makeup, but I can't see vividly. I want to see. No, you can't see yet. Take it easy. As he's standing there, he can't help it. And he just goes close as if, you know what? Dear, you look so beautiful. You look so beautiful. At this point, as you are imagining, I want you to give the word of advice to young people, especially you who said amen. Charles Emmanuel, the chief bachelor. This is free advice. Don't you dare on that day, don't you dare forget to say you look beautiful. I almost forgot. But I was given a cue by the DJ. Can you just, you know, on that, you know, when I was standing to my wife, I forgot because I was so excited. But then the DJ said, no, you know, before this ends, can you just go to your wife and say, sweetie, you look so beautiful. You look fantastic. You look fabulous. And if there's a lack of a better term, you can even formulate a term. You can say, you look like stompions. You can register that with the book, the Oxford Dictionary. Don't forget to say those words, because if you forget, the sin of forgetfulness will haunt you the rest of your married life. Women, don't forget, especially on that important occasion. They don't forget. Whatever you do, she'll be reminding you. You didn't tell me. these creatures, these beautiful creatures God gave us, don't forget. So whatever you do, this is free advice, Emmanuel. Don't you ever forget. Tell her, you look beautiful. Why do you have to tell her you look beautiful? You know what? Children, you watch them, again with the power of imagination. When as young as four, they'll start dreaming of one day getting married. They start doing those play things. They are thinking they are a bride. They put on these wedding dresses. They get to teenage years, they start looking forward to that day. In their mind, they are visualizing, they are planning. And when you start dating them, whether it was for 5 years, whatever you're doing, you're taking them for that ice cream, those ice cream trips that you make. You, instead of buying two ice creams, you are buying one. You give out, she licks, you lick. She forgets about all that. All she's looking for is that day, the wedding. When you say those words, you know why? Because she spent months, years of planning a wedding. She's been to consultants who plan weddings without you knowing. She's been looking for various wedding dresses. She's been on all websites. She chooses this one, doesn't look good. She chooses this one, she's gone through 1 million dresses just to make her day a special day. All this time, she's been thinking about the type of makeup she has to put on. She's been thinking, should I look natural? What sort of makeup should I have? Should I have makeup of a, what do they call it? Smoky eye. Is that what you call it? Natural makeup. Smoky makeup. All that makeup. She's been thinking about what they call HD makeup. Do you have that in your HD makeup? She's been thinking about airbrush. She's been thinking about how should I look like on that day? Should I look matte? All that. She's been thinking about, she's been planning. She's been thinking about the bridal party themes, the dress themes and all the colors and everything. And guess what? Above all, she has kept herself for this man. She has said no to all other men, and she has chosen this guy. This guy probably with a big nose, but she said yes to this guy. That's why you can't afford not to say you look beautiful. Because all this time, when you say those words, what you're saying, what she's hearing is, she's heard you say, in those three words, she's heard you say, I looked around, no one matched your beauty. In those three words, you look beautiful. What she's hearing you say is, you are saying, sweetie, I looked around all this time, but no one matched your beauty. She's hearing you say, you are the one. In that low tone voice, you are the one. She's hearing you say, you are just about to be bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She's hearing you say, sweetie, I may not have been there, but your hard work paid off. All these people came because of your hard work. She's hearing you say, your work was not in vain. At this point, if anybody is dozing off, can you just give them a nudge? No one is there next to you, but I don't expect you to doze. She's hearing you say, now you will be with me. You don't have to work so hard. You can rest now from your works. I know, she's hearing you say, I know what you went through sometimes through frustrations. But now, you don't have to suffer those frustrations. They're saying, sweetie, I don't want you to be anxious anymore. I'm here. I know behind the closed doors sometimes you'd cry. But now that we are together, I don't want you to cry anymore. If you cry, I want you to cry because of joy. I don't want you to cry because of hurt, because I'm here. With all that now, with all that imagination, you are imagining. Can I just take you back? Can you just come back now? Wherever you went in that wedding, can you just come back and join me here as you focus your eyes, as we pray together. At this point, guess what? That's how Jesus looks at his church. The relationship that is there between the groom and the bride, that is the relationship that is there between Jesus and his church. This morning, I've entitled this message, The Return of the Groom. And I'll quickly run through this. Can I ask somebody to preach with me here? If I point at you, please don't. I might point at you just now. Where are you standing? Can anybody volunteer to read Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8? Anybody? Isaiah 25, verse 8. Can that come up on the screen? Where are you standing? You can just read out loud for us. Quickly, as people are just coming from the wedding, coming back into church. Can anybody read? Mrs. Kango, can you please read as we hear you? Not only are you going to read, but at some point I'll ask you to come here and preach with me. Yes, 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 please, yeah. The Lord has spoken. There are a few things that I want us to note from there. The Bible says he will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. This is not just prophecy about the future. It is a promise from the bridegroom to his bride. It is a promise from the bridegroom to his bride. Quickly, let me just give you the background to Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah was a prophet in Judah. In chapter 1, the Bible says, Isaiah served during the reigns of Uzziah the king, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Isaiah prophesied during political instability. In Judah, there was moral decay. And in Judah, there was spiritual compromise at the time. Isaiah was not just chosen because of Israel's unfaithfulness. He was chosen because Judah was failing. Judah was falling short of what God expected them to do. As I was reflecting on this again, there's one theologian I respect, unfortunately, is late. This is what he says. God does not send prophets to entertain his people, but to confront them with his holiness. That was R.C. Sproul. I want to repeat this. God does not send prophets to entertain his people, but to confront them with his holiness. We see in chapter 6, Isaiah's first call. I just want to read this quickly. Verse 1. It was in the year King Uzziah died, that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy is the Lord of heavens. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then said I, "It's all over." When I read this text, I could imagine Isaiah when he said, "It's over." And he says, "I am doomed. For I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar, with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to these people? Who will go before us?" I said, "Here I am. Send me." And he said, "Yes, go and say to these people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing." I believe when Isaiah was called, God called him to warn people of judgment. When you read through the book of Isaiah from chapter 1 to 6, he was called to call people for repentance. He was called to announce the future salvation. Isaiah was called to reveal the coming Messiah. Quickly to our text. Our text at this time, this is a victory song. It looks forward to a day when death is destroyed, tears are wiped away. God holds a feast for his people. Shame is removed. And salvation is complete. It's a song of victory. When you read scripture from, is that Salome? Sasa soma. Throughout scripture, God described his people as a bride. And Jesus himself calls himself the bridegroom. As you are gravitating between what you imagined, the groom in the church setting, as you are imagining, gravitating between the two. And in scripture, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, we read about a wedding supper. What a picture God gives us. Again, I want to quote what R.C. Sproul said. He said, the gospel is not merely that we are forgiven. The gospel is not merely that we are forgiven, but that we are welcome. God doesn't just say, I've forgiven you, but he assures you and he tells you, you are welcome. You are welcome to the feast. I want to tell us this. One day, the groom is going to come. As we leave, just like that bride was preparing herself, as she was looking forward to that wedding day, one day, the groom is going to come. One day, the trumpets will sound. One day, the shouts of angels are going to echo in our ears. And we shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. As we prepare, and as we imagine, and as we think about the wedding feast, because it's going to be a feast, it will be like a wedding day. I've got a question that I want to pose to us all. How should we live as we wait for that day? It's a general question, but I want you to bring it home. I want you to ask yourself this question. I want you to tell yourself by name. Like I'm going to do now. The question is, Stanley, that's my name in case you didn't know. Stanley, how are you going to live? Or how are you living as you prepare and wait for his coming? Can you ask that question before I proceed? Ask yourself that question. How am I living? How should I live as I prepare? Remember this bride, she prepared. She looked, she engaged consultants. She looked at the type of makeup. If she had a way, she could have had, if it was allowed, probably, instead of having the type of wig everyone has, she could have chosen maybe a blue wig. I don't know what you call that. She could have chosen those long eyebrows, eyelashes. She could have chosen to put on that foundation no one else has ever used. Right from the factory. Do you call it foundation? Before you put the bricks on. She was preparing, she was, what do you call it? Is it mascara. She's preparing. She was looking at the type of shoes. As I'm walking on that aisle, going to meet the bridegroom. Should I walk in high-heeled shoes? Or maybe I'll trip on that train? Or should I walk in the flat shoes where I'll feel comfortable? She's preparing. The same question, how are you preparing? Because if you're preparing as though you are going to go for a run on that aisle, you might trip on that train because it's very long. Wear comfortable shoes. Put on the right makeup. So that makeup would give appetite to the groom. He would even want to rush to unveil you before time. He can't wait. He wants to see this bride. How are you living? And how are we preparing? And I put a few thoughts here, how we can prepare. But again, when you go home, you can search the scriptures yourself. Because it's only the scriptures that can be able to align you and help you prepare. Remember, only God would help us. Number one, and if you are writing, you can write this down. But also, in your own way, as you read the scriptures, you can add to it. Live with watchful hope, as this bride did. She was living with hope. I'm going to make that day. The Bible says, and Jesus said, I am coming soon. Behold, I come quickly. That's Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. As you continue writing, you can write this second thought. Pursue holiness. And hear me right. I'm not saying pursue perfection. I'm saying pursue holiness. Because if you are going to pursue perfection, you are going to fail. Pursue holiness. And pursue the one who makes you holy. As you continue writing, you can write this third thought down. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to your wife. Stay faithful to your parents. Children, honor your parents. The Bible says, honor your mother and father. Stay faithful. For those who are married, I pray that God will help us stay faithful to our wives as we prepare. But above all, let us all strive to stay faithful to God. Somebody said, faithfulness is not dramatic. It is staying daily in prayer, staying daily perusing through the Word of God, staying daily in obedience to God, and staying daily loving God. Not just voicing, not just paying lip service, but you love Him by obeying what He says. As we continue writing, thought number four. Don't be so selfish. Remember what the girl did. She invited even those family members she never saw for 50 years. In case she was getting married at 60. She invited them. She never saw them, but she was not selfish. She invited that her uncle, the uncle that denied her first school fees. She never held a grudge. She forgave the uncle.
She never said, no, you, I qualified to go to university to Australia. But you denied me the finances to go. She forgets about that. She still invites him. She invites that friend of hers that stepped on her toes. She invites that friend of hers that called her, you big nose. She forgets about that. She's not selfish. She invites them to the feast. And what am I saying? Point number four, don't be selfish. Invite others to the feast. Talk about Jesus to others. So that when he comes, even those people that you may not have liked would come and enjoy as Jesus comes on that day. Number five, anchor your hope beyond this world. There's a hymn that says, this world is not my home. Next time you rehearse, can you bring up that hymn, please? This world is not my home. In case you're thinking you're going to stay here forever, I've got good news for you. Or if you want, you can interpret it as bad news. You are not going to be here forever. One day the Lord is going to call you home. This world is not your home. So, anchor your hope and trust beyond this world. And as we come to the conclusion, there are some promises that Isaiah 25 puts across to us. When that day comes, the Bible promises us there will be no more tears. There will be no more death. There will be no more shame. That wedding day, in that church setting, again with the power of imagination, the grace of imagination, there was a lot of work that went into all that you saw on that wedding day. There was preparation. There was a rehearsal. The bride wanted everything done to the T. And I want to tell us this. This world we're living in is not a wedding. This world we're living in is like a rehearsal. We have to rehearse right. Do everything to the T with God's help. As you do that, I can promise you that one day, on that day, the mood would change. Remember when everybody was seated? The mood changed. On that day, the mood will change. One day, the doors of heaven are going to have open. The doors of heaven are going to happen, and everybody's going to see. The Bible tells me, every eye shall see the Son of Man. And one day, as everybody's focused and seeing, and the trumpets are sounding, then the Son of Man will appear. And if you are seated here and you call yourself a Christian, if you've seated here and that if at some point you said yes to God, on that day as he appears, he will not say, listen to this. He will not say, you should have done better. Did you get that? As he appears, he will not tell you, you should have not done better. Because all along you are preparing. You are rehearsing. You are doing everything to the T with God's help. And instead you say, come. Come, good and faithful servant. He will look at you at the veil and he will not wait to touch you. He will not wait to kind of unveil you. He will not wait to say, wow, you look so beautiful. Wow. I can imagine Jesus looking at his dad. He said, Daddy, look at Charles. Looks fantastic. He raised right. He did everything to the T. He says, come, Charles. Come. As we leave this place, I want us to go with this. And if you are writing, please, you can write this down. Live expectantly. Live expectantly. Because the Bible says, like a thief in the night, Jesus will come. And there's a song that is written about that scripture, and it says, there will be nowhere else you can run. There won't be a place you can hide. You go to the mountains, can you fall on me? And the mountains will say, no. You go to the lions, the lion, can you please eat me up and swallow me? The lion said, no, I've eaten a lot and for now I'm full. I don't want to eat. You go to the ocean, say, okay, ocean, I'm just going to dive in and can you just mangle me up? He said, no, I'm calm. I'm calm. I'm going to kind of make you float. Live expectantly, like as though Jesus is going to come today. As I'm talking, look there in the sky, he appears. Are you ready? As you live expectantly, can you love faithfully? Can you love faithfully? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind. But also love one another. Remember, I just said, this commandment I give you. Love one another as I've loved you. Parents, as parents, let us love our children as well. Children, can you love us and show us kindness? Can you serve joyfully? Serve joyfully. As you serve joyfully, hope in God confidently. The bride was confident. She was confident. It will happen. Hope confidently. Because the bridegroom is coming. And the wedding feast will happen. The final question, are we all ready for that wedding feast? As we come to an end, just want to pray over us. Shall we close our eyes and pray?